Yep, us crazy green divas are still here, reinventing ourselves yet again. Now we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube.
You can find our videos and podcasts on all the usual places.
Still sharing low-stress ways
of living a deeper shade of green.
Hey there, welcome to the Green Diva Show. I'm Green Diva Meg.
And I'm Green Diva Lisa.
And we have another fun show for you.
Yes, we do. We're going to talk more again about stuff from David Pogue's book.
Yeah, how to prepare for climate change. And we do need to start preparing.
Right. And we have so much to learn. It's a great book to just have on hand. I bought so many. It was like buying Girl Scout cookies. I mean, case of them, and I'm handing them out like cookies.
Like candy. So the name of the book, by the way, is How to Prepare for Climate Change. And we've been doing a series with his permission and sometimes with his participation.
Right.
This week, we will be talking about water as addressed in several different places in the book.
Yeah, there's ways we have to think about how to preserve water, where to get clean water, how to use water in your garden.
And as climate changes, how water plays a part in the decisions we make. Right.
Sure will.
La, la, la. But, you know, one of the things under the witty banter section I came across was Going Green, which is a podcast and a video. We've known those guys for a while.
Mm.
They did a fun post about the 50 sexiest environmentalists.
Arr.
Well, you know, I mean, it's funny because, of course, they use the Pope as the picture. The
I know. That was I thought I was on the wrong page.
And, you know, I know it's a fun PR thing to do, but it took them a lot of work and they did some serious homework. And it isn't just all the obvious players.
No.
I mean, yeah, there's Naomi Klein, of course, and there's Jane Goodall, Leo DiCaprio, Dr. Catherine Hayhoe. These are all names of people that I admire quite a bit, and mm-hmm. they are eco-heroes. But there's a lot of folks from around the world that they have researched and chosen that do a variety of different things, whether it's an economist from South Korea,
mm-hmm.
or there's Sergio Bergona, I can't read my own handwriting. I'm sorry, Sergio.
I think you're pretty close.
I think I'm close. Anyway, he's a rabbi and an activist in Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a nice mix of people that you may or may not have heard of doing different things.
Lots of CEOs from different companies that you know. And
so, you know, there's a lot of ways to be a sexy environmentalist. Other than being a green diva, of course.
Or a green dude.
Or a green dude. But that first picture of Leo DiCaprio with a swan around his neck.
Hugging his neck.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
And he is much younger.
And Rob Greenfield. We interviewed Rob Greenfield years ago before anybody really knew who he was. Mm-hmm. Really interesting, dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
Dedicated. This guy was like living off the grid.
Oh, right.
Like, you know, eating scraps from you know, I mean, he really did it. He really does it.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Walks the walk.
So anyway, I just wanted to mention that because it was kind of fun and interesting to see all these different people doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
And how sexy environmentalism can be. Yeah, just saying. So before we go ahead and do our segment about how to prepare for climate change, based on David Pogue's book, I just want to give a shout out to all of the folks who have listened and watched and subscribed and interacted with us on social media. Thank you. And if you haven't subscribed yet to our YouTube channel, I'm going to invite you right now to do that. And find us on social media and let us know what you want to hear more of or any suggestions.
We're in all the usual places. You mm-hmm. can ask your smart speaker and you can find old shows and lots of information on our website, thegreendivas.com.
That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. Yeah, we've been doing this too long. Are you feeling sluggish, weighed down, or mindlessly eating and in need of new healthy habits? Well, who isn't? The groundbreaking 5-day prolonged fasting mimicking diet is so much more than a diet. It's a whole new way of approaching nutrition and life through fasting. Prolon triggers your body's natural rejuvenation process from within. You'll feel lighter, improve your energy and mental clarity, lose weight and belly fat, and reduce your food cravings. And when you do multiple consecutive rounds of Prolon, you'll rejuvenate your cells, which support healthy aging. It's the only nutrition program in the world that mimics a fast. The tasty, specially designed gluten-free, plant-based food keeps you in a fasting state. Over 20 years in the making and developed by the prestigious University of Southern California Longevity Institute and the National Institutes of Longevity Institute and the National Institutes of Health, it's redefined what fasting means. You eat, your body fasts. Ready, set, rejuvenate with Prolon. This segment is part of our series based on David Pogue's book, How to Prepare for Climate Change.
And we're going to be talking about water.
Yes, which of course is throughout his book in various chapters, because there are a lot of different ways that we encounter water and have to think about it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, let's just say straight up that, like, I did research on our website. We have like 300 posts about water, because
water
it's
life.
So important. And, you know, the water protectors that we have worked with and talked to, they're on the right track.
Yeah. Mini Wichoni. Water is life.
It is. And so in the first place in the book that we really encounter David talking about water is where to live.
That was interesting to me. It all made sense when he spelled it out for us.
Yeah.
And when you think about the drought conditions that are happening out west and the aquifers that are draining, and on the East Coast, there's probably going to be too much and a lot of flooding. And he says the best place to live is near the Great Lakes, right?
Right. So to put it in perspective, 90% of all the world's water is salt water, which means that only 3% of it is potable, and meaning it's drinkable.
And you can't use it for crops.
And as it turns out, most of that is frozen in glaciers for now.
Yes.
So it's kind of interesting. 75% of water used in the West comes from snowpack, which is the snow on the mountains that comes down in the springs
into our rivers.
And of course, as things have been getting warmer, the winters have had less snow,
mm-hmm.
and they're having a lot less water coming down off the mountains in the spring.
Right, something that people really rely on.
So it turns out that research has found that every region in the U.S. is affected by less snowfall
mm-hmm.
in terms of water, obviously. 29% of all fresh water comes from aquifers. You mentioned aquifers before. I think mm-hmm. we get our well water taps into a local aquifer.
Sure.
And I shudder to think about all the farms around here that have been, you know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
there's a lot of, before we all got into organic farming or in between natural farming and
it's a lot of fertilizer.
All the industrial stuff
that
that's gone on with the fertilizers and pesticides and yikes. And I got to imagine that. Anyway, so I try not to think about it too much.
But we do filter our water.
We do. Because of where we are, the nitrates and nitrites, I'm not sure which. I think it's nitrites. Anyway, because of all the fertilizers that have been used in this area, everybody's mm-hmm. well is filled with that.
You know, if you go to EWG,
Environmental Working Group,
right.org, they have some information about how you can learn about testing water in your area.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've had it on our site before, but that's, you want to know what kinds of things might be in the water near you.
Yeah. And so that being said, as climate warms, aquifers are draining faster than they can be replenished. And as we just said, pollution affects aquifers. Fracking can affect aquifers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, industrial pollution other than farming can affect aquifers if there's accidents or whatever. Or, as it were, in the 70s, they discovered all kinds of intentional. You know, companies just weren't paying attention, didn't care, whatever. So, and then reservoirs. You know, a lot of states have reservoirs. And according to his research, David, that being David Pogue, in the book, all the states have reservoir levels that are down. Every state.
That's scary.
So it is an issue talking about in context to where we live and will we have access to fresh, clean, drinkable water.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's something to think about. So,
and last week we talked about gardening, and water's obviously a big part of gardening. And there's a couple of things that you can do to encourage less water use. And one of those, of course, is watering either in the evening or in the early morning before the sun gets on your garden. That way it trickles into the soil. It's really much better for your for the roots, and it stays longer. And then the other thing is drip irrigation or soaker hoses, which are great. And then mulch also helps keep moisture in your soil.
So yeah, that's another factor. If we are going to be a little bit more independent, if we are going to have our survival or our victory gardens or whatever you want to call them, and
mm-hmm.
we have to plant what in our region will take less water and grow. Mm-hmm. Or if you're in a region that's really moist, what is going to grow happily where you are?
There are some areas that are going to have problems with too much water. And then you have to figure out ways of how to prevent that. Make sure there's not too much clay in your soil.
Right. So, yeah, David gives us this whole list of things that we, for too much water, because I think we're all focused on drought conditions, mm-hmm. which is terrifying and worrisome, not only for growing, but for, you know, staying hydrated and all that. But too much water apparently is just as big of a problem because, of course, you know, you get molds and there's mildew stuff that happens to plants.
And slugs root love rot. To come out when there's too much.
Slugs.
You have to go. You have to find those.
And apparently, if it rains too much, you lessen the pollinator activity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that dampens the effect of pollination. So one of the things that he mentions in how to amend all of these potential problems is clay. Fix mm-hmm. the clay. And of course, amending soil is always important, right?
Always important. Yep.
And clay can be a real difficult thing if there's too much water. Mulch. Now, he says adding mulch just before a big rain, like if you know it's going to be
yes.
like a rainy week,
mm-hmm.
go out and put extra mulch out.
And that mulch can be things like when we get leaves, we'll make a pile. And I always have a stash of leaves, sometimes hay. Or straw, I mean, not hay, because you don't want to grow it in your garden, but straw. And there's a couple of things that you can use.
I mean, you could even use cardboard, right?
Or newspaper. Yeah, right. Yeah. But that does help from getting rotting the roots.
Yeah, root
the
rot
bottom.
And all that mildew
and the mold
stuff. Yeah, the mold. And gravel on top of soil can also help with drainage. In some cases, it's appropriate to use.
Mm-hmm.
Raised beds, I love that. I always like the raised beds.
Uh-huh.
Swales, trenches, and French drains, which they all sound sort of like similar things, but I know technically they're different.
Well, they're pretty similar, though. But basically what it means is that you're building ways to move water
right.
away from your plants and
yep.
often into some place where you can store them or whatever,
right,
but you get them away from the plants.
So create a rain garden, which we learned a little bit about, both like rain garden. Huh, what's that? But a rain garden often is a place sort of in some kind of depression or downhill from a garden.
Correct, yeah. And with lots of grasses in it. And so it's a way of filtering water and cleaning it and getting a icky
runoff. Yeah,
runoff
like from, runoff
yeah.
water. So that's kind of a neat idea. And then rain barrels, we have a couple of those.
We do.
And permeable paving stones, I guess those are good.
Those are essential. We did our whole driveway in Austin, Texas that way because it was very dry and we didn't have a very big footprint, and you can only have so much footprint that isn't permeable. So
right.
We ended up using really cool pavers that allowed the moisture to get into the ground and not just run off.
Right, not just run off. So, you know, again, just I mentioned water conservation is so important. Even if you think you have a lot of water.
Well, everything's changing, and depending on where you live and stuff. Just because it rains a lot doesn't mean the water's going where you need it to go and that it's getting there clean.
Right.
So saving water and helping whatever your water source is.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, I mean, let's protect what clean water we have and try not to just waste it and try not to pollute it.
And there's so many things you can do in your house to save water.
Literally like 50 posts just about
saving water,
you know, how to leaks. I have some stats here.
Oh my gosh. Leaking is a shocking numbers. That has shocking numbers to it.
So we did this series, what you can do, a few years ago, all based on water. There was a whole series of podcasts we did. And according to the EPA, I just grabbed some of the statistics from these. According to the EPA WaterSense program, the average household leaks more than 10,000 gallons of water per year.
Yeah.
That's a lot of water,
people. That's a lot of water.
It says, or the amount of water it takes to wash 270 loads of laundry. That's like doing laundry every day. Almost. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot.
It is a lot of water just leaking away. Like if you stick a bowl or a bucket or something under a leaky faucet, just take a gander at how fast that water fills up. It's astounding. And that's happening in so many homes and we're just not thinking about it.
Right. And so we were in that series trying to raise awareness about how much water we use, that we aren't aware that we're using all the time. I know you're a real water bug, so I know I'm preaching to the choir over here.
Oh my gosh.
But did you know that Americans use an average of 20 gallons of water a day just doing dishes?
Oh gosh.
Dishes.
What's interesting is we think that we're saving water and being more efficient when we do the dishes by hand. Or we think that we have to really pretty much wash the dishes before we put them in the dishwasher. Both of those things can be changed. And what I've been doing is I've actually been using my dishwasher, but I wait till it's full. I don't rinse everything. I'll soak things during the day in the sink so the stuff doesn't stick. And I'll just do a light load when I do use it. And it uses so much less energy, so much less water.
Yeah, especially if you have a modern dishwasher, you know, made in the last 5-10 years. I think
they're all made to be efficient with water. Yeah.
So here's another stat. The average American household uses over 100,000 gallons.
Per year.
Of water per year.
100,000 gallons of water a year.
Okay, people, start showering together, you know.
Oh, please.
We did a whole post about that. It was kind of cute. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, you don't need to take a half an hour shower either.
No.
Right? There's a lot of things we could be doing.
And
so,
water saver things as well.
Yeah. Anyway, we do. In the post for this show, we'll put all the links that we can conjure up, and there will be quite a lot.
Right. And yeah, there'll be fun ways to learn about saving water.
So I hope this has been an interesting and informative episode for you. It sure was for me.
Yeah, we learned
something.
Was it
good for you?
It was. One of the things that we do is we want to learn about stuff. And as we're learning about it, this is what we're all about. We're here to share, take you on the journey of us learning how to be better stewards of the planet.
And thank you, David Pogue, for allowing us to use your book as a platform to share some of these topics as we prepare for climate change.
It's happening.
Have a great green week. Bye.
So, what'd you think? Let us know. And in the meantime, follow our YouTube channel. Follow the Green Divas on Instagram, Facebook, all the usual social media hangouts. And now you can ask your smart speaker to play the Green Divas podcast.
And I have a favor. Please share this with your friends. Thanks in advance.